What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, it'll be different over on that sideline. It'll be something new, but looking forward to it. See a lot of close relationships over the years there, and get to catch up with some guys. It'll be cool.
It's Cooper Rush. He's going to start for the Ravens on Saturday in Dallas, a place he spent some time and was their starting quarterback for a period of time last year after Dak Prescott got hurt and played some decent football for them at times. And just to reset, we talked this offseason about the need for the Ravens to sign a legitimate backup quarterback. And Jason, you brought up Cooper Rush specifically, and then the Ravens went and signed Cooper Rush.
Yeah, I think it's money well spent. This is not a guy that you have to wonder about. Is he up for it? Does he understand how to prep? Can he lead a team despite not getting practice reps the way you'd like? Can he get buy-in from starters even though he's a backup until the moment the starter gets hurt and then he's the face of the offense? Is he cerebral enough? Like, is he gutsy enough? Can he take a hit? Is he mobile enough? This has already been established, not in preseason games, but in meaningful NFL games, a lot of which, frankly, he went into with his team a little bit undermanned and found ways to win his fair share. So I don't need to see a whole lot of him to feel good about him. But I do think this is an interesting spot for him going against the Dallas team where he'd been his whole career, where he rose from sort of a nobody to somebody who was the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys quite a bit because Dak Prescott has missed some time over the last 3 or 4 years. He acquitted himself well. He's very well liked there. I'm kind of surprised that he's not back there. I'm kind of surprised they wanted to go in a different direction there for whatever reason. And maybe that had to do, with a coaching change or whatever. I think he will show better than he did Thursday. I thought he would struggle Thursday. And I think he might play a half of football here and maybe look pretty good doing it, in which case now the door should be closed on him as well until you, knock wood, hopefully you don't need him again, but until you need him again.
Now, I want to see the play time ramp up this week because he only got 3 drives last week. He threw the pick, the touchdown drive, which was largely on the ground, 5 rushes, 2 passes, and a 3 and out, and then the punt return for a touchdown, so who knows if he would have went back out there. But you'd like to see him start to build some momentum. Am I hitting the panic button on Cooper Rush because he's had an uneven training camp and the first preseason game didn't go well? No, I'm not hitting it, but I would like to see him start to take some steps forward this week and ride it out through the rest of camp leading up to week one.
And there's some things at play here. We talk about how this offensive line has no depth. Well, he's not going with the, like, he's
none
not
of the ones.
He didn't have Ronnie Stanley, Roger Rosenberg to tackle, like, and the receivers are, like, so there's that.
Sure.
I do think, though, you'd like to see him, feel good about himself.
I can't imagine, and Harbs was pretty quick to go there after the game. Preseason or not, backups or not, 59 passing yards in an NFL football game is abject failure. So, like, you can't tell me that the competitors in them, and I get it, it's not Lamar and it's not the starters, but, like, there's dudes who are going to play football for the Baltimore Ravens who were a part of that passing attack, and it was, I mean, it was hard to it was hard to watch. It was hard to stomach. So I got a feeling that this week there was a little bit more fine-tuned preparation, and there were some messages sent that, like, we got to put a little better than that on film. And I think Cooper Rush is going to be given more of an opportunity in particular to do that in the first half of this game. And so, yeah, just for his little confidence or whatever, like, and for them to just, like, you don't want to be associated with that. I mean, Monk's sitting there saying I need to call a better game, whatever. Like, well, everybody should take some blame for it, but, like, that's not NFL caliber, preseason or not. That's not NFL caliber. So I think they'll put some nice pop passes in there for Cooper Rush early. I think they'll boot him around and have him get it in the hands of people in space and just build a little bit of continuity throwing the football.
Yeah, get him in more of a rhythm and have those quick hitters early on. And, heck, if you can do that with Devin Leary as well, that would be nice. Dude, do anything to get the confidence going.
I think that is
get
what those, it is when we get to that time. But hopefully, that's in the second half.
Sure, definitely in the second half. But get him in rhythm. Get him feeling good about himself. Complete the first two or three passes. Have him be layups. And then hope that it can continue to build from there.
Let me ask you a question. I just want to go down a hypothetical rabbit hole for a second. You talked about if Cooper Rush shows well Saturday, you probably bubble wrap him for the third preseason game. Do you play Devin Leary the whole game, or do you bring in another arm just to get through that game?
I mean, the guy you probably would have brought in is in Cleveland. Like, I mean,
Snoop.
I mean, you could, but like, how?
That's a run out the clock situation.
Yeah, like, I mean, are you putting down the preseason quarters?
Like, yeah. You're pounding the rock.
If you're doing that, then you should probably just cut Leary. You know, like
So you let him play four quarters?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you're bringing in somebody else because you don't think he can dead the last game for you, and you're just worried about what that could look like aesthetically, then you've probably wasted a lot of time on this kid already.
Since we did bring it up, we should point out, if you don't know by now, the Ravens announced today that they've canceled their joint practice with the Commanders earlier today. It's a little odd timing on that. And also, I think one of the reasons why starters, or one of the reasons they will tell you why starters don't play in these games, well, they get their work done in joint practices. Well, there won't be work getting done because their joint practice got canceled.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder sort of who was the genesis of it. I doubt that. You know, Harbs picked up the phone at the same time Dan Quinn picked up the phone. It's like, oh, my God, I was just calling you. No, man, I was just calling you. Like, somebody wanted out. Now, is that because you're getting low at a position group, or you just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze? Or, I mean, you know, the logistics have been planned months ago. So it's not like Washington, you know, uprooted themselves to West Virginia for the week. Like, you know where they're located. Yeah. You know where you're located. Like, you know the bus situation or whatever. My suspicion is it's more to do with somebody doesn't like their numbers at a certain position, or somebody maybe didn't like some things that happened the last time they did a joint scrimmage, and they just are like, we'd rather just sit this one out.
I just want to point this out. You guys, you'll remember when I mentioned it. They had a joint practice with the Commanders a couple years back. And Mark Andrews killed a guy. Like I wonder.
Nate Wiggins wasn't part of that practice, no, Jason, with those 12 or 13.
Mark Andrews took a guy, and I think he got hurt, like legitimately got hurt. I don't remember who it was, but that was a big deal in the moment. I just wanted, like, did you want Mark Andrews to come back out there? Because there's got to be some guys with long memories.
Especially
over there.
With Likely out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's certainly a little odd. It's not by any means unprecedented. I think it was the Chargers and the Rams. It was the Rams and somebody. I think it was the Chargers canceled one last week that was scheduled. Now, they were pretty upfront and just said, we got a body situation. But, you know, we don't have enough bodies to go around right now health-wise. And again, my guess is that was for one of these teams the case, and the other one was probably like, yeah, we get it. But as we continue to truncate, you know, we got rid of 2-a-days.
Yeah.
The first week, you can't do much of anything. Remember, they practiced 3 days in a row, and we're like, wait a minute, you sure you're allowed to do that? Like, there's so many rules in place that, you know, they originally scheduled it for a reason.
Yes. That's where you get your work in, Jim.
Yeah.
Because they're not playing in the preseason.
They are not playing in the preseason.
No, we are 3 days from today. The NFL season kicks off Thursday Night Football, 4 weeks from last week or 2 weeks from next week. So that all checks out, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, a week from today, you're gone.
A week from today, 10:05 flight, Dulles, I believe.
10:05 p.m.?
10:05 p.m.
And you're doing
running
the show?
Running here from the show, yes.
Wow.
So you're doing the show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's really, for an international flight, though, Jason, work till 6.
What time's the flight again? 10?
10:05.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Well. You know, with Bowen, he'll wait till the last possible minute because it's up to the other people, not him, to get on the flight on time. Alas, you know, we've always talked about Justice Hill being an unsung hero on this football team. He spoke yesterday. Let's give him some love. We'll hear from Justice Hill next here.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
On the fan.
I told you all before, I call him the junkyard dog because he does everything for us, you know, and he does it at an elite level, you know, and Justice knows his role and he plays his role to the best of his ability. He's been great, not just as a player, but as a teammate and bringing other guys along. I think he helped Derek adjust last year when he came into a new team, and Justice was right there with him. I personally say he was a big part of helping Derek with his success, you know, and integrating with the team, you know. So Justice, just, he's what you're looking for in a football player and a teammate and all, and he's a heck of a football player.
So that's Willie Taggart, running back coach for the Baltimore Ravens, talking about Justice Hill, who has become an incredibly valuable player for the Ravens and just signed, what, his second contract extension with the club?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, he is a true glue guy.
Like the bone.
He's a smaller guy plays with a huge chip on his shoulder. He has outlasted some running backs here who – at one moment or time were sort of guys you were the face of the team, and an Ingram or a guy you thought was going to be the face of the team, and Dobbins.
Yep.
He has carved out, I would say, maybe not more meaningful, but maybe more impactful role now that they have a true feature back than before, where I think he kind of had to get, you know, it was whatever Giro decided, this guy, that guy, the other guy, playing around, mixing and matching. I think now that it's more structured and streamlined, it's almost more impactful. And he is such a good yin to the yang of Henry. They play off each other so well. What he does in pass pro is incredibly significant. The screen game evolving once Giro was finally out of here, and with Monk and leaning into that, and Lamar embracing it too. It's a great fit. I'm a big fan of his. I think he adds a ton of value, and maybe he finds himself on the field with Derrick Henry a little bit more this year.
He's just such a rock-solid football player, and it's really amazing that he's gotten to this point getting those two contract extensions here, because remember, guys, the injury bug bit him a lot early on in his career, and you're wondering, is this guy going to stick around? But for him to get multiple extensions, and especially over these past couple of seasons, really carve out nice roles into this football team, that's a testament to Hill.
Jason, I like the way you put it, the yin to the yang, because, and this is not to diminish Derrick Henry at all. Derrick Henry's going to Canton 5 years after he retires, but Derrick Henry is not a great receiver out of the backfield. Justice Hill is a very good receiver
also
out of the backfield.
Not a great pass protector.
And that's what I'm getting at. I don't think Derrick Henry likes that part of the game. Like, I think if his size, if he wanted to, he'd probably be a pretty good pass protector. He doesn't want to do that part of it. Justice Hill, we saw him, like, he playing tackle
Chris Jones
against the Chiefs. Yeah, like,
he sells out.
So like, I think the perfect way to describe it is the yin to the yang.
Yeah. And then you add Lamar in there, and it's just a very, really unique mix. And they check every box. They cover everything I think you would want out of a backfield in its totality. Now, where Keaton Mitchell figures into it, does it truly evolve even more this year? Do they get another 300 carries out of Derrick Henry? Like, there's things we obviously don't know. That's the nature of this sport, and this sport calls on your depth more than any other and throws you curveballs in the medical tent unlike any other. But, man, I you can do a whole hell of a lot worse of a third down back than Justice Hill.
I'm still really interested in to see how much Monk is going to utilize pony packages this year, because you got these three running backs with such unique skill sets where I think you could put a ton of stress on defenses having two of those three guys out there at the same time.
Well, let's hear from Justice Hill. And by the way, Ben, let's start with cut 31 on Justice Hill. He talks about having Keaton Mitchell back in the running back room.
Yeah. No, I mean, Keaton, he had to work really, really hard to get back from that gruesome injury. Last year was like a first year trying to get back to it. But, I mean, he worked his butt off this offseason. I mean, he's getting back to himself, you know. And so it's going to be fun to see what we all do out there when we get, like, going when the season comes around. And so, no, I've been proud of his journey, just how he came to work. Every single day came with a smile. And I know there's a lot of tough days in there, and he made those tough days good, so.
He knows better than we do because we see it out there in practice. Like, Keaton Mitchell looks like a different dude than he did a year ago.
Yeah, it's always the second, from an injury that catastrophic, it's always the second season back where you really start to regain your trust and your twitch and that extra gear. That's all there for him now. But again, Justice Hill would again, he can speak for firsthand experience. The durability part of it, like, and as a smaller back, right, like you have to figure some things out and work through some things, and Justice Hill was able to do that. We're going to have to see if Keaton Mitchell is able to do that.
Sorry, man. More from Justice Hill. Cut 32. We talk about him in pass protection. He talks about his pass pro skills.
I mean, it's obviously my size, my stature. You know, that's what makes me elite block. No, I mean, it's just the want to, a will. Like, I just want to make sure my guys are making the play, and it's as simple as that. Like, I just have the will to do it. And, yeah, Keaton, I mean, he's coming along, too, in that aspect. I think a lot of times coming into college, that's like your first time really pass protecting, so you might not be the best at it. And then as you get more and more reps, like anything in life, you're going to get way better. And so, like, for me, I mean, I've been doing it for a while, and each year I just try to continue to get better in that. I really just focus on it as well. So whether we're doing an ACT walkthrough, try to make sure I'm practicing my technique, and then when it comes to full speed in the games, it's just kind of like I've been there before.
I appreciate him throwing Keaton a bone there,
sure.
but this, he is right. His want to, his
it's
will.
It's a mentality.
Yeah.
It's a mentality. And it's not for everyone. It doesn't come naturally to everyone, and not everybody fully embraces it, but he does, man. And when he, again, I'll say that, like, he is willing to sell himself out to save Lamar Jackson's ass.
And it happens time and time again. And it's so glaring when running backs miss their pass pro assignment and the quarterback ends up getting killed. And then you think of how many plays that helped, that were extended because of Justice Hill. It's the want to, and also at his smaller size to be able to do that and be that effective, it's even more of the want to.
Let's hear one more from Justice Hill, Bellway. Ben, cut 34, we talked about the contract extension. Justice talks about his new contract.
I would say so, yes and no. I think I've always had that confidence, and I just felt like I just needed some opportunity to show that. But, yeah, with them extending me, I mean, it was obviously that they trusted in me and trusted the things that I was doing. And so, for me, I just wanted to continue to improve on the things that they paid me for. I mean, whether it's blocking, catching, making plays. I mean, that's what they brought me here, drafted me here to do, and that's why they still have me here today. So I'm just going to continue to do those things at a high level.
Pretty sure he was the pick they got for Joe Flacco. That was from the Broncos. So that gift keeps on giving. And as you said, Jason, like, there was a point in time where it looked like the structures really helped him, but the injuries, it looked like it was just going to be, he was going to be just a guy. And now he's turned into a real dude for them.
Yeah, no, he's a winning football player for them. And again, even at the heights of Derrick Henry, when he wasn't 30 years old, we ran the numbers. He wasn't on the field on third down very often. And this guy wins on third down.
Ravens will be in Dallas, take on the Cowboys on Saturday. Orioles are back on the field as they had an over 2-hour rain delay taking on the Mariners, trying to win this series. We'll update you what's going on at Camden Yards, all the young dudes, next here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Selfishly, I hope we never stop playing that cut because it has become comical, a liftoff. Orioles, though, they are trying to take 2 of 3 from the Mariners. They did resume play, as you heard in Bones' update. Julio Rodriguez greeted Rico Garcia with a 2-run homer. So Sagano's line no longer completely clean. He does give up 1 run. But Orioles lead 5-2 in the bottom of the 7th.
Look, this is what, the second time in 2 weeks they've scored more than 4 runs, so that's good. And they scratched out their first comeback win, walk-off win of the year at home last night. And Jackson Holliday having a great at-bat against one of the nastier relievers in the game. So they're stringing some positive things together here, and we haven't seen a whole lot of that. We documented the doldrums the offense was in going into yesterday's game. 24 runs scored in the previous 10. So how do you break out of that? Well, you might hit a couple of big home runs, or you might walk a lot. You might try to get on base, and then somebody like Jeremiah Jackson gets a little league home run or something like that. There's different ways you can do it, but the way they worked walks today against a lesser starter, a guy who you know, a young pitcher who will get himself in trouble if you let him. A lot of times this team, they're so uber aggressive. They also want to be the hero. That doesn't always manifest itself in positive ways. That's part of the reason why the pop-out rate and the strikeout rate and the walk rates are where they are. But that stuff needs to change, and no better time than the present. And today they got the memo, and today they made the kid Evans sweat, and guys like Gunner continue to have big hits, and they're in position to take a series from a Mariners team that came in 9-1, hottest team in the American League, and look out, Astros, here come the Mariners.
And shout out to all the pitchers, starting pitchers for the Orioles, with Kramer a couple days ago, Rogers last night, and Sagano. They were all excellent this series. But to your point, Jason, they've done that with the 7 walks today, and you're scoring on a wild pitch, double steal, Mountcastle stealing home, like those extra things, you get a chance and take advantage of it.
Well, we talked a lot yesterday on the show about the lack of situational hitting, about all the strikeouts, about the lack of walks, and not being alert on the base paths, and not advocating for yourself, putting your athleticism to use smartly on the base paths, and
double steal, stole
today,
home.
Like, but again, it can't be once every month. It can't be once every 6 weeks. Like, this has to become, in the same way that trying to ambush a fastball 480 feet has become too much of their DNA, this other stuff needs to become part of their DNA. There need to be positive habits that replace some of the bad habits.
Let's go back to yesterday real quick, because I don't know how you quantify what Trevor Rogers is doing right now. Trevor Rogers gave them another 7.
I'd say about $20 million a year for starters, probably. I'd say maybe 25. Yeah. I don't know. 20, 15? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but they should be talking to him about an extension. That's for damn sure. But here's a guy who in May, we're wondering if this guy's ever going to be an average major league pitcher. And now he's been the best pitcher in baseball since he's been up.
Well, here's the reality. They looked at McDermott for a hot second, then he got hurt again. They looked at Brandon Young, and then there was a setback there. If there isn't this rash of pitching injuries, we probably never find out.
You might be right, yeah.
You know, and even after what he did at Fenway,
they sent him back down
for a while.
Yep.
So it's an improbable story. It really is across the board. But the part that's becoming most improbable to me is, like, I'm not going to say, well, he's not going to have a 1.4 ERA for that much longer, because, like, he might have a 1.4 ERA the rest of this year.
Yeah.
Like, he might have a sub 1.5 ERA.
Yes.
When this season ends. Now, he's going to end up with like 17 starts, not 34, but still, like, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, which is crazy. That doesn't mean that's where he picks up next year. No. I don't know. Just like they didn't know what they were getting when they finally brought him back up from AAA to stay. I'm stunned that he gave up an 8-run lead like he did in Tampa.
In Tampa, yeah.
And then this is how he's responded to
this.
Like, I'm stupefied by that. I'm stunned by the fact that he dictates to the pitcher or to the hitter in a way that he got dictated to previously in an Orioles uniform. And what do I mean by that? He was pitching from behind. He was sort of nibbling. He wasn't trusting his stuff. He was getting into hitter's counts, and he was getting knocked around. They're never in hitter's count.
Now he's setting
guys
up.
He's never behind anybody. Yeah. It's 0-1, 0-2, 1-2, and he's dictating. They need to find a way to secure his services beyond a year from now. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if you can't seize this moment and turn it into more than, like, imagine if you actually did turn him around.
Mm-hmm.
He does this for the rest of the year. You do nothing with him. Once next season starts, if he's pitching anything like this, it's over.
It's done.
The window is slammed shut. We're talking about Trevor Rogers, top five starting pitcher available in unrestricted free agency.
Easily.
They have an opportunity to prove that they have some sort of bedside manner because you have an ability to sign. Like, if he continues this, then his market blows up. But right now, because of where he was and now where he is, you give him real money, you probably can get him signed. And I mean, like as Jason said, 15, maybe $20 million, but that's real money. And I think that they have to do that. They have to show that they can extend somewhat.
And this year in arbitration, I think he made $2.5 million. He's made nothing so far in his major league career, relatively speaking. And the 11 games, you're talking about a third of the season. But guys, look at these last three against the Mariners, Phillies, and Cubs. Three teams that are vying for a World Series, trying to make deep runs in the playoffs. 21 innings. Three earned runs.
Yeah, and he wasn't – you know what's funny, and it shows you how good he is? He wasn't great against the Cubs, but he got himself out of trouble just basically every inning.
Yeah.
I'm completely – like, I'm so much more stunned by this than I am that Kyle Stowers is a 900 OPS.
Yeah.
Like, I
– The most weirdest win-win trade of all time.
It's a win-win trade because remember when they acquired him and they knew he was broken.
Yeah, so they told
him. What were they pumping up? He's controllable. He's controllable. Well, guess what? Part of the time he was controllable, your team sucked as they collapsed the second half of last year and then the first half this year until you got around to looking at him again. So if all you get out of him is whatever next season is, that's a joke.
Yeah, that's a huge mess.
Because this 27-year-old's playing in the outfield for them every day.
Yeah.
So you want to win the trade?
You extend him.
Have the balls to do something with him. You might have egg on your face. You might give him $20-something million a year, and guess what? The glass slipper breaks, and he's not Cinderella anymore. I don't know, but with the hole you've dug from a roster standpoint and the fact that you've got a complete clean slate contractually moving forward, like – no, this isn't a Gunnar Henderson mega deal. This is like buying an extra year or two of a look-see on Rodgers. If you can't do that, just cede control. Walk off into the night. Get out of my town.
We'll come back, get the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for the fresh take. That's Cordell Woodland, Beltway Ben Hall at 6 here on The Fan. 6 o'clock tonight's The Fresh Take with Cordell Woodland and our own Beltway Ben Hall. And Beltway Ben, what do you guys got this evening?
Yeah, we'll be recapping the Orioles game, of course, previewing Ravens, Cowboys, and Dallas, and we'll also be joined by Mike Loxley to preview the
turn.
Nice.
Nice.
Awesome. Very excellent.
Nice. Are you guys going to crown Dietrich Enns as the next great closer for the Baltimore Orioles?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's only a few minutes before he starts getting shelled, too, like the rest of the Bulls.
Ken was saying during the break, Ben, I hope he comes out to the Felix Central. That would have been awesome.
And if it was night, they should shut the lights off.
Hey, shut the lights. I did do the whole thing. It'd be so awesome. But, yeah, 6 o'clock. That is the Fresh Take with Beltway Ben Hall and Cordell Woodland. Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2. Check.
Okay. Today is sponsored by Oarsman Automotive, driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text today comes from Jared in Baltimore, who says, interested to see if this Cowboys game motivates Rush a little more. I feel bad for a guy like Tez Walker who wants to show the staff what he can do in game action, but hasn't been able to.
Why is Cooper? What is that?
Cooper Rush played two series.
Yeah.
I don't think Cooper Rush needs motivation. I just think he needs repetitions in a new offense.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson gets the lion's share of the reps of practice. Like, it's pretty simple. I'm sorry. And by the way, Tez Walker, he had a great start to camp. He's kind of receded as camp has gone on a little bit. Made a really nice catch, the Saturday I was out there, but hasn't really flashed as much of late.
Yeah, I mean, Tez, you're hoping that you can see something out of him during this preseason game because he didn't have a catch last time. Yeah. Not saying that that was all him, of course, because Devin Leary was the quarterback for the bulk of that game. But it'd be nice to see some of it, the early training camp and especially OTAs and mini camp success translate into one of these preseason games.
Yeah, I'm not putting Tez Walker on Cooper Rush. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I want to remind you, tomorrow night, come see the Chesapeake Bay Sox and the Erie Seawolves represent their alternate identities in the highly anticipated rematch at Prince George's Stadium. The undefeated Chesapeake Oyster Catchers will host the Erie Moon Mammoths on Friday, August 15th. First pitch is at 7:05. Special ticket patches are available with a portion of the proceeds benefiting Survivor. Go to baysox.com to get your tickets.
I mean, it is a big matchup. The Oyster Catchers, I don't know if you remember, like the
logo. No,
became a national
that went viral.
And the Moon Mammoths were renamed by John Oliver of This Week Tonight with John Oliver. So, like, that's
and also,
a big deal.
And also a ton of credit to the Bay Sox for leaning into it because Survivor is a nonprofit cervical cancer awareness and support.
And the logo, basically, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So they leaned into it, which was smart on their part.
Bone, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Ariel Epstein, and we have Jerry Coleman. And Jerry has been out at the BMW and sending so many pictures of the spread, and there's a lot to get into with
and
Jerry.
Maybe, just maybe, we have Dylan Beavers and Sam Bassaia in a Baltimore Orioles lineup.
Say maybe Aditi.
Got back to me. I was going to. Next week.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Next week.
Near Hall of Fame.
Can't do tomorrow.
Yeah. But coming up next, don't you dare change that dial because the fresh take is coming up next. It's Cordell Woodland.
Go get him, Beltway Ben.
And it starts at 6 right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.